Are we ready, ADP? Are we good? Good morning, everyone. We are ready to start. All right. So we're good to go? Perfect. Good morning, everyone. I know I noticed some new faces, so I'll go ahead. I want to introduce myself. I'm Martha Tremblay. I'm the Assistant General Manager at the Los Angeles County Sanitation, and I'm honored to be the chair of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. Sorry. Eric, is there something?
I just wanted to take a moment when it's appropriate to introduce our new council.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, thank you. Okay, so it's great to see you all. I really appreciate you being here and your leadership and dedication to this commission. And to be respectful of everyone's time, we can go ahead and call this meeting to order at 9:34. Cindy, can you go over our meeting procedures this morning?
We're grateful to have a great host us today and have audio visual support from AGP staff. Restrooms are right outside the door to your left. Help yourself to refreshments and bagels in the back of the room. If you need Wi-Fi, the network is LASAN-guest, and this will direct you to a login page. The username to log in is LASAN, and the password is capital LA 2025. This information is posted on the pillars behind me. The meeting is in a hybrid format in which members and the public are participating both remotely and in person. For remote participants, if you need technical support connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, please email it@agpvideo.com. This email is also listed on the meeting agenda if you need to reference it. Now, I will provide some information on how public participation will be organized for today's meeting. You must be in the room or on Zoom to make public comments. Members of the public may request a comment in the following ways. One, if you're in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the back table and hand it to me or Luke. If you're participating via Zoom, you can raise your hand virtually when reading the item for which you'd like to speak. The raise hand function is at the bottom of the screen on the Zoom app. If you're calling in over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly. Please remember to turn on your microphone when you speak and turn it off when you finish speaking. That concludes the overview of meeting logistics. Chair, I recommend we move to member roll call for attendance and introductions. I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Please introduce yourself and state your affiliation.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. Please go ahead with roll call.
I am providing roll call based off the RSVP system. Members of the public may request a comment in the following ways. One, if you're in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the back.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Sabrina Ashton. I'm a board member with the LA Regional Water Quality Control Board. Nice to be here with you.
Jacob Berman.
Present on behalf of Los Angeles City Councilwoman Tracy Park.
Edward Caldwell.
Here, alternate to Director Gloria Gray, West Base Municipal Water District.
Andy Korodesky.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, Andy Korodesky, the board president at Las Virgenes Municipal Water District.
John Erickson. Tom Ford.
Tom Ford, Director, Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program.
Dean Francois, Hermosa Beach City Council member representing the South Bay Cities COG.
Jamie King.
Hello, good morning. Jamie King with the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. I'm the project manager of the Topanga Lagoon Restoration Project.
Karen Logan.
Good morning. Present from representing the State Water Resources Control Board.
Jenny Newman.
Hi, Jenny Newman, Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control Board, representing Secretary Garcia.
Carrie Nichols.
Carrie Nichols, Representing Heal the Bay, I'm their Science and Policy Director.
Christina O. Aaron
Ordauer. Aaron Ordauer, present, representing Los Angeles County Supervisor Lindsay Horvath.
Genevieve.
Good morning. Here for LA County Flood Control District, alternate for Director Mark Pastrella.
Michelle Purcell.
Here on behalf of Assemblymember Isaac Bryan, Chair of Natural Resources Committee.
Did you say Michael Quill? Okay. Present, Marine Programs Director at Los Angeles Waterkeeper.
Greg Rochelle.
Good morning. Greg Rochelle here. President, Black Service Collective.
Good morning. Bertha Ruth Hoffman with LA County Beaches and Harbors, alternate to Gary Jones, Director. Sorry.
Present, Martha Tremblay, Los Angeles County Sanitation, alternate for Robert Ferrante.
Catherine
Vernet. Catherine Vernet, the President of the Board of the Bay Foundation.
Aaron Wilson-Olgin.
Aaron Wilson-Olgin, representing California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
And Erica
Good morning, Erica Yalensky with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Region 9. I'm the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Coordinator. See you all in person.
Thank you. That concludes our roll call. Thank you, Chair. I recommend we move to item one.
Great. Thank you, Cindy. And I guess before that, Eric, can you?
Morning, everyone. This is Eric Gilman, counsel for the commission. And I wanted just to introduce new co-counsel who will be taking over for me in the near future, Helen Wollner, from also the Office of Chief Counsel of the State Water Board.
Hi, it's really good to be here, and it's nice to meet you all. I'm excited to work with you.
Great. Thank you, Helen. So with that, we'll move on to the first item of our agenda, which are comments from members of the public on items not on the agenda. And I believe, Luke, we have public comment.
Thank you, Chair. We do have some public commenters who registered. Most of them did register under item 3D, consideration of approval of the 2026 action plan. However, I do see some hands raised, so we can move to public comment. Those folks. First hand raised is Suzanne. Could we please get a timer for 4 minutes on the screen? Folks online, we're just getting your timer ready.
Is it 3 minutes? It's 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
The chair has discretion on public comment.
Three minutes.
3 minutes, okay. Suzanne, you are our first commenter. You should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear?
Yes.
Member of the Senior Club. I'd like to divide my time and make short comments here and on item 3D. I'm sure you see the published in the LA Times, Liberties, and other outlets. The National Park Service is convening a study of the LA coast. This could help many of the areas that the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission is concerned about. The next meeting is March 11th, and comments are due April 6th. Thank you.
We will save the rest of your time for later. The next commenter we have is Marcia. Marcia, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't know if it's echoing like it in the room there like it is here, but can you hear a big echo?
We can hear and there's no echo in the room.
Okay. Thank you. I will try and to speak while being distracted by this big echo. Marcia Hanscom with Defend Bioweapons, and I'm also the director of Los Angeles Coast Forever. And I want to just give you a little more detail of what Suzanne just spoke about. And that is that 10 years ago, Representative Ted Lieu, Congress member for much of our Los Angeles coastline, submitted a bill to Congress to ask the National Park Service to study the natural resources and the culture industry in this area from Venice to San Pedro, and also including the Bayan Wetlands, Bayan Creek, and the Baldwin Hill. And we're very excited. Finally, President Biden signed the bill in 2022. And because the National Park Service had a real backlog, they were not able to get started right away. We're all taken by surprise, partly because our federal government is a little bit in chaos, as you might know. But there was a meeting
that just last week, we only had a few days notice, that meeting was being by the National Park Service. There will be a similar meeting on March 11th, and there is a website for this that tells you as much as most people would need to know about what the process is going to be. It's going to be a lengthy process because the National Park Service has a lot of professionals that come in and take a look at all of these resources, and then they put together a report for Congress, and nothing will happen until Congress acts. But there were numerous congressional members who were co-sponsors of this original bill, and we're very excited that there may be some additional federal resources that can come to this area, and we hope that you will all participate in submitting comments. And the rest of my time I'd like to save for number 3D.
Next commenter is Jane Gillespie.
Hi there, everyone. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was really heartened when the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission agreed to consider a 20-point gentle restoration plan for the Bayano Wet Ecological Reserve. That gentle restoration plan achieved all the legitimate goals of restoration without any heavy machinery. As you know, there is a plan to completely destroy the Bayano Wet using the excuse that they're trying to restore essentially a decade of heavy machinery, bulldozing, moving of untold number of tons of sand from one place to another, hundreds of daily workers, trucks, for a decade at a cost of more than $200 million public dollars. For what? Nature is the ultimate restorer. And living right there at the Bayona wetlands, I can tell you that there is absolutely no need for that. And there is need for a little TLC, which the gentle restoration plan achieves, carefully opening the area to docents and rangers and students and people who can appreciate the 1,700 species of wildlife, including threatened and endangered species that call the Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve in Playa del Rey home. Now, we went to court to fight this scam restoration, and we won. The judge decertified the environmental impact report, but it hasn't stopped the forces of greed and development who continue to try to piecemeal this plan to basically wipe all this wildlife off the face of the earth. The reason that I'm devoting myself to this is that I see these animals every day, I see the pelicans and the egrets and the cormorants and the white-tailed kites and the seals and all of the other animals that call the wetlands home. We are in the midst of the sixth mass extinction. And as Los Angeles goes, so goes the world. We must draw a line in the sand and say, no, open space is not just there for developers and the fossil fuel industry to pillage. We will keep this one square mile, the only square mile of wildlife that remains in Southern California at the coast for the wildlife. So I urge you to follow up on your agreement to review the 20-point gentle restoration plan. These animals cannot speak for themselves. The wildlife needs your help, and I thank you so much for having an open mind on this issue and following through. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Next commenter we have is Roy Robert Vandehook. Roy, we're getting your timer ready. You should be allowed to unmute yourself. Are you there, Roy?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Roy.
I can't hear you. Hello?
Just give us a moment. Maybe we can try and figure something out.
Is there an issue?
Hi, Roy. We can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. My name is Roy, Robert Jan van de Hoek, and I'm an environmental biological scientist and geographer. And I wish to speak to you on some news coming from Jonathan Coffin, our expert naturalist photographer. We have 11 American white pelican these last few days. It's been increasing from 3 to 11 now. And just keep in mind that throughout Southern California, from San Diego to about Morro Bay, we have more than 1,000 American white pelican right now, every winter for a few decade now, because the Salton Sea ecosystem has failed with no fish. So the American white pelican are here because there are abundant fishes in the Bayona River estuary, primarily the striped mullet and small schooling fishes that the American white pelican hunts. We know that all of our American white pelican are born in Idaho, Utah, Montana, Nevada, and then migrate here for the winter. And this is really important to know that we have a functioning ecosystem and our biodiversity is increasing every day. We know the least Bell's vireo has returned to Bayona. We know the California gnatcatcher has returned to the Bayona Valley ecosystem. And of course, the Belding savanna sparrow has increased its population, all without any dredging or any kind of machinery, or that just because we're giving nature time to heal from our past eras of DDT and other poisoning and overhunting that we've done, and better wildlife protection. So we've got to keep it intact the way it is. And I want to speak to the National Park Service that's doing a study for making the LA coastal region a national park. Let's just address the El Segundo blue butterfly at the LAX sand dunes. I don't know if you know this, but that's federal land. The city of LA was never able to pass a bond to buy the land back from the federal government after eliminating the community that lived there. That was called Surf Ridge. So we have both a historic cultural site at the LAX dunes, and we have a federally endangered butterfly, depending on native vegetation, that's coming back. And the ornamental landscaping that was along the streets and yards of Surf Ridge homes are still intact and act as habitat for red-tailed hawk, owls, and other avian predator birds. So it's really a viable ecosystem. So the U.S. Department of Congress owns the Los Angeles, and through the FAA, we cooperate with LAWA and your own mission has also been announced. Also, I want to touch in the last few seconds on Marina del Rey, where we often meet, that if we continue with fireworks, we'll never have the seals and sea lions coming in great abundance. They do come in periodically, but we need to burn fireworks.
Thank you, Roy. That concludes your 3 minutes. We appreciate your comment.
We have one more commenter on this item, but before that, I would just like to mention that Susie Santolina and Tina O are now present in the meeting. So we have a in-person commenter, Catherine. Or sorry, not Catherine, Lori.
Catherine.
Could you please make your way to the podium? Oh, thank you. Thanks, Lori.
Hi, I just my public comment is I just wanted to introduce myself as a member of the public today. I am a member of the board of Biona Wetlands, and I sat at this commission for many, many years, and I'm happy just to be here as a member of the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Great. Thank you, Luke, and thank you for all public comments received. So we move on to our next set of items, which are informational items. Item 2A is the order of the agenda. There is no changes proposed from staff. Are there any changes from any of the commission members at this time? No? Okay, seeing none. We can move on to the next item, which is report from the chair. I would like to report that on January 19th, the executive committee met, and we established the agenda for today's governing board meeting, discussed the revised action plan, which is also an item on our agenda today, as well as discuss upcoming informational items and their priorities. And that's all I have to report. Any questions on that? All right. Moving on to the next item, it's report from the Technical Advisory Committee. Luke, do we have a member of the Technical Advisory Committee?
Thank you, Chair. No, we don't have a Technical Advisory Committee chair or vice chair here, so I will provide a brief update. So in December, the governing board saw a presentation on the State of the Bay report compiled by SCORP. They presented on their study looking at small wetlands. So the results from that Prop 50 study will be compiled into a chapter that will be provided online. So we anticipate getting that online soon. And our next TAC meeting is anticipated for May. At that meeting, the TAC will discuss the next State of the Bay chapter, which is on rocky tidal habitats, rocky intertidal habitats. That chapter will be authored by our TAC chair, Dr. Dan Pondella from Occidental College. So we anticipate that chapter being ready sometime this summer. That concludes TAC updates.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Luke on any of the TAC activities that he reported? All right, seeing none. Next item is report from the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission Administrative Director and the National Estuary Program Director. So Luke will go first and then Tom.
Thank you, Chair. Is it possible to make my microphone a little louder? Thank you. So just two brief items to report on today. First, since the last meeting, the priority for staff has been working with the executive committee and governing board members on creating the final draft of the 2026 action plan, which is on this agenda. So more on that later. And then second, I regret to inform you all that Caitlin Gray has stepped away from her position as commission staff. She's stepping away to focus on family. Caitlin served the commission since 2019. She successfully navigated the commission through the pandemic, and she even was running the commission by herself for several months prior to my start. So she'll be greatly missed by us, and I will keep you all updated on my efforts in hiring to fill that position. That concludes my updates.
Thank you, Martha. Coming through okay, everybody? Good deal. Luke, you already spoke to it, but certainly excited and grateful for all the hard work around this table and well beyond this table for informing the action plan, and excited to see it up for consideration today. Got a couple other updates for you. We are in the middle of preparing for our annual meeting in D.C. at this point in time, which is scheduled for the week of March 16th. So the 28 National Estuary Programs will meet there with the EPA and some of our federal sister agencies, perhaps. But I'll be happy to report back on the substance of that meeting for you, either at the executive committee meeting and or at the upcoming governing board meeting in April. Closer to home, Jamie, congratulations to you and your team. And I'm sure I would miss too many names, so I won't try. But I thought that the TAC meeting that y'all put on online to explore some of the potentials and considerations moving forward for the Topanga Lagoon restoration was terrific work. Very excited for you all. Please let us know how we can continue to provide some meaningful support for your effort. Gratitude to Greg Rashal, who's sitting right here, and Bob Ramirez. Greg runs the Black Surfers Collective. Bob Ramirez is the president of the Gabrielino Tongva Springs Foundation that we have a collaboration with. I was able to drag both of these guys to a panel to talk about the merits of connection and reconnection to nature. And we were exploring that in the context of Los Angeles as the city, as a city of tomorrow. And how do we put those benefits back onto our landscape, our coast, our seascape, and make it part of people's lives? I thought it was a very impactful presentation. Good job, sir. Out there on the beach in Santa Monica, we initiated installation of a number of dune areas proximal to the Venice-Santa Monica beach border, and we are steadily moving northward. So if you're down there anytime over the coming months, you'll see a number of areas that have a nice thin jute rope and some blue signs, and we should have some nice emerging vegetation over the coming weeks. It's pouring rain right now, which is great to see. I was getting a little nervous there in the early part of January. I'd like to thank that the Bob Ramirez and his team, again, at the Gabrielino Tongva Springs Foundation for their support and counsel for us. One of the elements on the beach is a medicine wheel or a sacred hoop, which is a central part of a lot of Native American ceremony. Certainly has tremendous cultural significance going back 5,000-7,000 years here in North America. So more to come on that as that feature continues to evolve with their coordination and support. Also happy to say that across the water in Catalina, Limu, in the language of the folks, the Tongva folks, as well as others in the region, we had a chance to outplant white abalone to the island just about a month back or so. So that's the first time that that's occurred. Very excited about that opportunity and about extending our partnerships with folks that lead conservation efforts out there on the island. We are preparing for another season of clean boating, so thousands of boater kits being generated, dock walkers being activated, so we'll be out there moving up and down San Francisco, down to through San Diego, trying to help inform people as to where the resources are, their best practices for taking care of their vessels and preserving our coastal water quality. And then lastly, excited that we were able to secure some funds to help further our interests in a line of research of collecting muscle tissue, which is not a new thing, but we're analyzing the metals in that, and we're looking at a few different locations along the coast, particularly in response to the fires and the Palisades, as well as Marina del Rey, where we have a long-standing set of data from decades ago. So we're trying to get a little compare and contrast. A little too early to say where that's going to lead yet, because it is research, but I'll be happy to let you folks know more about that as it develops. And that's what I've got for you today. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to address them.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Luke. Any questions on the reports from the Administrative Director or the National Estuary Program Director, Michelle?
I was wondering if you and the other estuaries that are going to be meeting in D.C. have a list of things that you wanted to discuss?
There's a number of things that we normally approach, which are often administrative and programmatic. I think there's a great deal of interest right now in coastal resilience and harmful algal blooms, as some of the shifts in temperature and that shift driven by temperature in the plankton community. And so we're seeing more plankton earlier in the year in some places than we used to, as an example. And I think we're trying to look at the collective resources of the program as to how we can figure things like this out. We did have a successful effort a number of years ago where we were looking at local ocean acidification, which is often tied in with harmful algal bloom manifestation or a result of it. So I think that's kind of inspired us to get together. That shared, we've all been, you know, very busy, much like this body has, working on the updates to our plans, responding to some of the new legislation that guides this program. And I'm sure we'll be spending time on that as well.
Great. Any other questions? All right. Hearing none, we can move on to the next item, which is report from members on implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, goals and actions. Does anyone have any updates that they want to share at this time?
I have some updates. I think this is the right place, right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So as most of you know, I came to this commission in late 2024 when I started as the regional manager for CDFW. So I got kind of thrown into this whole Biona thing just for that reason. Not that I wasn't in region, but I still wasn't that involved. So anyway, so starting in 2024, that was right after the litigation over the EIR that was decertified. And I jumped in kind of both feet trying to get that resolved. So we had this goal of getting the EIR recertified and moving forward with the project. But, your best laid plans never go forward straight. So as planned, so we had a couple bumps along the way. We did release the NOP in late 2025, and we did that process and got responses to comments. But the contract that we had in place expired, and so we had run out of funds to do that. And then we ran into some just state budget issues that, you know, happens to all of us. So I am pleased to announce that I am moving forward with finalizing the EIR. And just for some scheduling purposes, I should have the draft recirculated EIR in public review probably May. So it would be May and June for public comments. And then depending on how many comments, the goal would be to try and have that certified in, or sorry, thank no, you, finalized in September, October. So hopefully this year we would see the recertified EIR finished, which would be just a huge monumental hurdle for us and milestone. So with that process, there's public meetings. So I'm looking at somewhere in like May or June to have a public meeting, a stakeholder meeting. And I haven't resolved everything and figured out strategically how to do this, but then an actual, just a public meeting as well. I want to thank District 11 for being awesome and providing a room. So there will be a room, a facility at your office in Westchester at some point. I just got to give you dates. So I think that's exciting. And then to the other effort that we're trying to get done this year is a land management plan. And I know that's been a long time in coming. But we had a grant to do the land management plan with the San Diego Zoo. And they were able to complete some tasks. And so with that contract expiring early next year, I'm hoping to get a land management plan by the end of this year. And so hopefully we would have meetings associated with that document maybe in May for a stakeholder meeting and later in the year for the public. I'm not sure yet on that. I'm trying to not conflate the two because it's kind of confusing. So one is specific to our interim management, and then the other would be, you know, the environmental document for the restoration plan. So and then so So that's kind of a lot for me this year. So, but I also have good news in that I do have now a environmental program manager that oversees all of our lands. So he started last week, so I'm not even going to bring him here today because that's a lot. So, but I'm excited to have help, and I think that's it. I don't know, does anyone have any questions?
Thank you for sharing news, Erin. And it'll be great if once you have the dates for public meetings, if you can share them with Luke so that he can share them with all of us, that'd be great.
Yeah. I wish I had that sooner. I've been to work on that. So, yeah,
yes,
I definitely will do that. And one more thing, just because it'll be easier on me, if anybody, like, I have the list, like the circulation of from the response to comments. So I have all of those people who commented as a list for people to invite to the meetings. But if somebody wants to email, if you could email the BWER wetlands at wildlife.ca.gov, that would be great. And I can give that to Luke if that helps, just so that it'll just don't call me because I won't see it.
Yes. No,
don't email me. So, anyways, we'll get all those combined. And if you feel like you know you're not sure if you're going to be on that list, just let us know. So, thanks.
Thank you, Erin. Anyone else want to share any news? Erin, yes.
This is the other Erin. My name tag is missing, but Erin Wardow, representing Supervisor Horvath. Just a very brief recognition and comment. I was very impressed that our meeting is seems to be zero waste here today. There's reusable mugs that were supplied and compostable, and I know that's part of our agenda here, and I wanted to recognize the commission and LA San, who's done such great leadership on that issue, moving the city in that direction. So I think it's something for us to take back to all of our public agencies as we're hosting meetings and doing our day-to-day work, that this is certainly something that is possible, and we should lead by example. Thanks.
Thank you, Erin. Anyone else? Erica?
Just two items. One, EPA's notice of funding opportunity for environmental education grants went out in late February, so that is a national solicitation, but I will send the link to Luke and Cindy to share with you all. You can also look it up online. And then the other thing, so I think it was mentioned during public comment that the National Park Service is doing this study of coastal LA. It sounds like I sat in on the webinar because I was pulled in as a contact to understand what it's about. It sounds like a long process, but now is a time for your agencies to look. And if you have concerns or questions, I will share the link for that as well. And they have a map of the areas that they're looking at and kind of what they can cover and the different management options. Which there are several of. If you visited national parks, you've experienced that. So it's not always just like Yosemite where the National Park Service manages all of the land. There are lots of different options. And it takes an act of Congress to approve it or the president. So I think it's a long process, but now is just an early time to give your feedback if you have any. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Erica. And I'm glad that you brought this up because I was going to ask, and it would be great if you get any other updates and if you can share them with us as you hear them. And then that way we kind of are informed on what this is. Because, yeah, it's interesting to hear it in the news, right? And it seems like a pretty major evaluation. But no, thank you.
Just to add, so Congress approved the funding to do the study in fiscal year 23. Right, so now it's just to give you a sense of, I think it's been in the works for a while, and now it's coming together. It wasn't just approved with the budget that was just passed. Thanks.
All right, thank you for that. So let's move on to our governing board business now. For that, the first item is consideration of approval of the December 11/2025 meeting minutes. There are no changes proposed from staff at this time. Are there any revisions, additions, anything that any of the members noticed? Or is there a motion to approve as presented?
I'll move to approve.
Thank you, Aaron. Is there a second? Thank you, Michael. Cindy, can we do roll call vote, please?
Yes, one moment. I'm getting set up.
I would just like to mention that Lauren Salisbury is now in the meeting. Please bear with us. We'll be ready in a moment. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. I will be calling your name in a randomized order. When I call your name, please state your vote. Thank you. Starting off with Genevieve Asmina.
Yes.
Thank you. Lauren Salisbury.
Yes.
Greg Rochelle.
Yes.
Just for the record, into the microphone, that was Lauren Salisbury with a yes.
Edward Caldwell.
Abstain.
Martha Tremblay.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Christina O.
Yes.
Carrie Nichols.
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Abstain.
Jacob Berman.
Yes.
Karen Mogus.
Yes.
Dean Francois.
Yes.
Aaron Odor.
Yes.
Susie Santolina.
Abstain.
Thank you. Sabrina Ashton.
Yes.
Aaron Wilson Aldrin.
Yes.
Andy Korodeski?
Yes.
Jamie King?
Yes.
Thank you. Michael Quill?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The item passes.
Sorry, Chair. We have one more member who just showed up during voting, John Erickson, who's present. John, we are approving the minutes from the last meeting. So we are looking for your vote on that item.
One, I'm glad we have four. So that's always a positive when you drive.
Thank you, Chair. The item passes. I recommend we move to the next item.
Great. Thank you. And John, it's very nice to see you. And yes, we have quorum. All right, so next item on our agenda is the election of seven entities to the governing board. At this point, Luke, can you go over your report?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So the memorandum of understanding of our commission stipulates that the voting governing board members shall nominate and elect seven entities to serve as voting members of the governing board for two-year terms. So many of the folks in the room, your positions are ex officio, but we have seven members who are elected. And they serve two-year terms and are voting members of the governing board. Those terms are coming to an end. The last election was in 2024. So it is time to now fill those seats. The seats available include two representatives from the environmental/public interest organizations, two business community/economic interests in the watersheds, and three at-large representatives. So we have seven seats, and we have three categories that we need to fill. And I can go over voting procedures in a minute, but I first wanted to open up the floor for nominations. So there was a nomination period prior to this, but now we have an opportunity for floor nominations.
And I'd also just like to clarify that non-voting members of the governing board may also nominate.
Great, thank you, Luke. Any nominations, any floor nominations at this time?
I will display the nominations we've received, sorry. But if there are floor nominations, let us know.
I guess I can't see them, but maybe that's just me.
Sorry, here we go. These are the nominations we received, and they are listed in order. So sorry they're not grouped by their category type, but this is the order we received them. And these are our currently elected members.
Okay, so I'm hearing no floor nominations in person or online. Okay.
If there are no floor nominations, that means we can proceed with a slate vote. And before we do that, I just want to make sure everybody's familiar with who they are voting for. So I'll display this, but when we go through the voting, we will have to display your votes on the screen. So make sure you take this in. I also have some printed versions of this over on the table if you want to look at that. The voting will take place as a slate, so it's just one vote from each member, and we will have you randomized. So we used to vote in alphabetical order, but now we will randomize you, so nobody is, if you're put on the spot, it's random. So.
All right, so there's no other nominations. Is there a motion to move the slate as presented? Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Cindy, can we go through roll call vote?
Sorry, was that John Erickson and Greg Rishal?
And
and Jacob. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, voting will occur in a randomized order. This time we are starting with Aaron Wilson-Olgin.
Yes.
Christina O.
Yes.
Genevieve Osmina.
Yes.
Thank you. Edward Caldwell.
Yes.
Michael Quill.
Yes.
Jamie King.
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman.
Yes.
Andy Korodesky.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Aaron Oderer?
Yes.
Lauren Salisbury?
Yes.
Sabrina Ashton?
Yes.
Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Jacob Berman?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
John Erickson? Karen Mogus?
Yes.
Carrie Nichols?
Yes.
Greg Rishal?
Yes.
Thank you. This item passes. Chair, I recommend we move to the next item.
Great. Thank you, and congratulations to you all. Looking forward to your continued participation, leadership, and service. Oh, sorry, I was just looking in general. All right, I'm going to look the other way now. Okay, next item on our agenda is appointment of technical advisory committee members. Luke?
Thank you, Chair. So the technical advisory committee functions as a non-biased scientific panel that provides technical expertise to support the mission, goals, and objectives of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. The main deliverables provided by the TAC include the comprehensive monitoring plan and the State of the Bay report, which, as you know, is in progress right now. You saw a chapter from our last meeting. So that State of the Bay report is really important. It tells us that tells us how good of a job we're doing as a commission. So that's crucial information to have. The TAC serves a very critical function for this commission. The TAC last met on December 1st, 2025, to confirm the willingness of current members to continue to serve. And they also finalized recommendations for new members. It turns out we did receive some recommendations for new members, but we didn't have any of those folks wish to be appointed. So 8 of the current TAC members are seeking reappointment with no other changes. And also, since the last appointment of TAC members, Dr. Alvina Mahinto from SCORP has resigned to focus on other work. Staff will continue to reach out and see if there are other folks interested in the TAC. But for now, we have our 8 TAC members to reappoint. So I will share my screen and show those folks. Give me one moment here. Where'd that go? I will also read them aloud. We have one screen today, so I know it may be a little more difficult to read. So we have Richard Ambrose from UCLA seeking reappointment. We have Rosie Daggett from RCD. We have Phyllis Griffman with the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary, Karen Martin with Pepperdine University, Dan Pondella, who is currently serving as the TAC chair with Occidental College, Mahesh Pujari, from the Environmental Monitoring Division of LA Sanitation. We have Eric Stein, who is our vice president for the TAC, with the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project, or SCORP. And then we have Rochelle Tanner from Chapman University. So each of these folks already serving on our TAC, and they each bring a different expertise. I can answer any questions about our TAC members, since we don't have any of them here, unfortunately. So,
great. Thank you, Luke. And we do appreciate the willingness to continue serving. Is there a motion to approve? Is there a second?
Second.
Great. All right.
Sorry, Luke, I second.
So that was John Erickson and Michael Quill. Yes. Motioning.
Yes, Cindy, can you go ahead with roll call vote?
Yes. One moment while I share my screen.
And Luke, we just have one opening that's not filled, right? For the TAC.
There aren't a set amount of seats. Oh. Rather, the TAC decides if there's an area of expertise that's missing from the table. So,
okay.
Yeah. More folks could certainly join.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Perfect. This time we will be starting with Edward Caldwell.
Yes.
Thank you. Dean Francois.
Yes.
Jenny Newman.
Yes.
Aaron Oderer.
Yes.
Karen Mogus.
Yes.
John Erickson. Michael Quill?
Yes.
Thank you. Greg Rochelle?
Yes.
Jamie King?
Yes.
Sabrina Ashton?
Yes.
Andy Korodesky?
Yes.
Carrie Nichols?
Yes.
Christina O?
Yes.
Aaron Wilson Olgen?
Yes.
Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Bertha Ruiz Hoffman?
Yes.
Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Lauren Salisbury?
Yes.
Jacob Berman?
Yes.
Genevieve Osmina?
Yes.
Thank you. This item received 20 yes votes and is approved. Thank you, Chair. I recommend we move to the next item.
Thank you, Cindy. Okay, so I think we're making good progress in going through our business. This next item is consideration of approval of the 2026 action plan. This item is one that we've have been discussing in previous board meetings, and we appreciate all the comments that we've received so far. I know there's public comment, but we'll have Luke go ahead and give his report. And then we can listen to public comment, and then we can kind of discuss this item. And this one is up for consideration for approval. So with that, Luke, can you start us off?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Bear with me as I share my screen. I have a presentation. Just a few slides for you all. So today you will be considering approval of the 2026 action plan. What I'll be presenting on today is some background and history, a review of our outreach efforts and engagement with commission members, and then a summary of the updates that are contained in the 2026 action plan. So a little bit of background regarding the CCMP first. So oftentimes in this room, we refer to the action plan as the CCMP, but just to clarify a little bit, the Comprehensive Conservation Management Plan is the document or set of documents that outlines a collaborative approach to restoring Santa Monica Bay. It's really our guiding strategic document, and the action plan is just one component of the CCMP that describes long-term actions, roles, and metrics, as well as milestones. So the action plan is really the heart of the CCMP, which is why those two terms are used interchangeably sometimes. On this slide, I have a table showing various CCMP components. So it's more than just the action plan contained in a CCMP. And I'm also showing, highlighted in green, the components, the CCMP components that are getting updated with this 2026 action plan. So I'll go through them. The action plan identifies those overarching goals and actions, lays out all the work that commission members do. The 2026 action plan also contains a protection and restoration strategy, which identifies strategies to protect and restore habitat. The document also contains a vulnerability assessment, which outlines strategies for assessing vulnerability and adaptation. There's an outreach strategy contained within the action plan, and there's also an introduction chapter, which lays out a lot of background information and scope of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program. So the 2026 action plan is a combination of all these other components that fulfill CCMP requirements set by the US EPA. So the components not contained in this action plan are the finance strategy, which outlines strategies to finance the items in the action plan. There is some financial information contained within the plan, which we will go over, but it does not constitute a full finance strategy. The comprehensive monitoring plan is not included in this. That is a plan to measure the effectiveness of action plan implementation, and that is a document that is the main responsibility of the technical advisory committee, so we need them to tell us what we need to monitor. So that is not included in the action plan. And then finally, the memorandum of understanding, which describes the structure and governance of the commission, that is also not included in this document. And the latest update on that actually happened in 2024, which is relatively recently, and there was no need to update that. Before I move on, I'll just pause there, make sure this is clear to everybody. Okay, a little bit of history. So in 1988, Santa Monica Bay Restoration Project was established. That is not the commission. At the time, it was called the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Project. They developed a action plan. It was called a Bay Restoration Plan at the time. That action plan was adopted in 1995. And then in 2002, the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission was established by Senate Bill 1381. Sheila Kuehl was the author. And the commission supplanted the Bay Restoration Project. And the SMBRC went on to adopt updated action plans in 2008, 2013, and 2018. And with the last round of updates happening in 2018, it's time to consider an updated action plan. Any clarifications needed on the history? Or hope that was good. Okay, moving on, I'll review the outreach efforts that took place regarding the 2026 action plan. So from 2021 to 2025, staff collected and considered public comments. During the annual work plan process, we will actually begin that process in the coming months. A lot of those public comments were relevant to an action plan, so we considered all of that input we received, and we worked with the executive committee on sifting through all that public comment and finding recommendations that fit for this update. Regarding the draft of the action plan, of the 2026 action plan, there were two different written comment periods as well as a public meeting. So the first public comment period was from August 21st to October 20th, and that was a written comment period on the first draft of the document. We hosted a workshop, a virtual community members workshop with the Bay Foundation to gather further input, and then finally, there was a revised draft compiled by the Bay Foundation, and we received public comments on that draft, and that comment period was December 12th to January 2nd, 2026. Commission members also were highly engaged in this effort, so action plan updates were a standing item at executive committee meetings starting in March 2024. So that's almost 2 years worth of executive committee meetings where this was a topic of discussion. The 2026 action plan updates were also discussed at numerous 2025 governing board meetings, including the August 21st, October 16th, and December 11th meetings. Finally, I will go through a summary of some of the updates, and as I go through this, just keep in mind that I'm comparing the 2018 action plan to the 2026 action plan. I'm not comparing the different drafts of the action of the 2026 action plan. So this is 2018 versus 2026. Updates to highlight are structural changes. So there's an improved structure and organization to the plan. There's a more informative numbering system. So previously, actions and items in the action plan were just numbered in sequence. But due to this new numbering system, you now know what items are associated with each other and what goals they are fulfilling. So there's a more informative, you know, organization and numbering system. The document redefines actions as project and program categories, and it also redefines activities, or uses this new term activities, which describes individual projects and programs. This is an improvement on the 2018 action plan because actions and sub-actions were sometimes misconstrued, or sometimes it just wasn't clear. So there's improved structure there. And then finally, this document reduces some redundancy. So there were some items that had a lot of overlap. Those overlaps have now been resolved. A lot of items have been combined where necessary. There were also some updates needed to reflect, accuracy. So the 2018 action plan items, some of them needed new targets because they reached their targets, or circumstances changed. So there was a need to set new targets for some items. Some 2018 action plan items were retired. There's more information on this contained in my staff report, if you wish to hear more about that. But there are various reasons an item would be retired. One, sometimes work was completed. Two, sometimes priorities changed, or there aren't any folks working on those items. So there are numerous reasons why some items were retired. And again, I'll refer you to my staff report on that. And there's also an opportunity for comment later on in this item. And then finally, some roles and responsibilities have changed for some items. So a need for updated accuracy there. The goals were updated in the 2026 action plan. We discussed this back in December, I believe, in this room. Maybe not December, but maybe October. The 2018 action plan water quality and water availability goals were combined due to a high amount of overlap. The goal to enhance socioeconomic benefits to the public was retired as a goal. That was a 2018 goal. There's now a new goal of technical collaboration and policy support, which has always been a function of the commission, and now it is called out as a goal, which is good. And then goal 6 has been added, which addresses extreme events and emergency response in the plan. Finally, there are several items that were added to the 2026 action plan, which are an expansion of the scope of work. So these are items that were not in the action plan in 2018. That includes the recovery of giant black sea bass, which helps fulfill goal number 1 of habitat restoration, biodiversity enhancement. There are some activities for fostering stewardship and protecting recreational activities in support of goal 3, community engagement and education. There are some tribal engagement actions and activities contained in the action plan. Sustainable aquaculture has been added as a topic of interest in support of Goal 5, technical collaboration and policy support. And then finally, there are multiple actions that need to be further developed under Goal 6. So last time we discussed the goals of the action plan, this group decided that it was worth taking more time to develop actions and activities that this commission can carry out regarding extreme events and emergency response. That concludes my presentation. I can take any questions on what I presented. Before I do that, I will also mention we do have some changes to display in the draft document. So I will need to go through those one by one before a vote takes place, but we can pause here for questions.
Thank you, Luke, for a comprehensive presentation. Does anyone have any questions for Luke on his presentation, or do we want to listen to public comment and then public comment? All right. Luke, it seems like no urgent questions for you at this time. Let's go ahead with public comment.
Great. Thank you, Chair. Can we get a timer? There are some folks with a little bit of time left, so I'll call out times left, and that'll be displayed on the screen. For folks online,
Luke,
who wish...
can I interject for just a second? Thinking about this on the fly, because there are some red line changes that came in late that you intend on going over and that the board needs to see, I suggest that you present those now, and then the members of the public will have all the information to make their comments.
Okay, thank you. Sounds good, Eric.
Great, thank you, Chair. So we will do public comment after I go through some changes that came in today. I'm sharing my screen. I hope everybody can see this. I will do my best to zoom. Okay, there we go. Okay, so first, this is in the introduction to the document. There was a request to add a map. And this is a map from our website. So it is a map currently in use. And the person requesting it thought it contained additional information not contained in this map. So now there are two maps in the plan. Regarding activity 1.3.3, Restore Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve, there was a recommendation to add this text. So I'll read the sentence. Restoration efforts may incorporate small habitat enhancement activities carried out by local nonprofit organizations and or the use of heavy equipment. There was a recommendation under the TMDL, under the Water Quality Enhancement Action. So the proposed text is, local agencies are also committed to identifying and prioritizing the control of constituents of emerging concern, including microplastics. One thing to note here, the document previously referred to contaminants of emerging concern. However, the state of California uses the term constituents of emerging concern, so that has been changed. Under the water quality enhancement action, this paragraph has been added, or proposed to be added. So the Santa Monica Bay is monitored via a variety of regional monitoring programs, including the Southern California BITE Regional Monitoring Program. The Southern California BITE Regional Monitoring Program, or BITE Program, is an ongoing marine monitoring collaboration that examines how human activities have affected the health of more than 1,500 square miles of Southern California's coastal waters, which include the Santa Monica Bay. This work is facilitated by the Southern California Coastal Water Research Program, or SCWRP, and dozens of participating organizations, which include two Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission member agencies, that is Los Angeles Sanitation and Environment and the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts, as well as others. These organizations pool their resources and expertise to investigate the condition of marine ecosystems across both time and space, with work conducted in five-year cycles since 1994. BITE 2023 is currently underway. Data collected through the BITE program for the Santa Monica Bay can help inform conditions related to trash, microplastics, harmful algal blooms, and constituents of emerging concern, and others. So there's some information added about the BITE program carried out by SCWRP that also appears in other places in the document, which I will go through. There was a recommendation to clarify some language regarding California Senate Bill 1383, a clarification regarding where organic material ends up. So it was I'll read the full sentence. The passage of California Senate Bill 1383 requires jurisdictions, homeowners, businesses, schools, and other facilities to sort and send organic matter to composting facilities and other facilities that process organic material. There was a clarification needed under Activity 2.1.2, Support the Safe Clean Water Program. It was recommended to list LA County Public Works as the lead entity. There were some changes required for the Pure Water Southern California program. This is under item, this is under action 2.2. These changes were needed for accuracy to reflect that the Pure Water Southern California project is currently in progress, and it is just a proposed project. It is not finalized. It is not implemented, and there was some information added that the final environmental impact report was certified in February 2026. And is expected to be the project is expected to be fully functional in 2036. There was a typo that was corrected in a reference to the Fernandinho Tatavium people. And I read a paragraph earlier regarding Squirp's bite study. So this information regarding the bite study has been added in several places regarding our goal for monitoring. Our action. So action 4.1 is to monitor coastal marine ecosystems. The bite study is a study that is a program that provides a lot of monitoring data, again, in 5-year cycles. So the bite study information has been added under each of the activities under action 4.1. And then let me move on to the next one. Is that the end? These are the edits regarding the bite study. I'll move quickly.
Is it the same sentence with each activity?
It is the same exact sentence, yes. Okay. And then finally, the last red line edit to go through. And again, this is red line on the draft that was sent to you prior to this meeting. Final edit that appears multiple times in the document under each activity. I won't go through each one because this is under each activity. The text estimated annual cost and funding has been being proposed to replace that text with estimated project cost. And then underneath, when there are funds listed, it was recommended to indicate that that is per year. So I will give you just another example to let that sink in. So that has been added to each activity. That concludes the recommendations that have come in regarding this document that did not appear in the last draft made available to members.
Luke, I have a question. So with that cost that you, the cost that you just talked about, that was really confusing to me because most projects are just like a blanket fund, like, you know, you get $10 million. So it was really hard to like do that per year. So if there are errors in that, then I need to fix that because I really didn't understand that at all. And then on the change that you made to Biona, can we break that up into two sentences? Because I don't object to having small nonprofits do work in Biona, but that wasn't the context of the rest of the sentence. So if we can just break that up into two different things, that would be great.
This is the proposed edit. I'm sorry. I'm not sharing my. Can you please share my screen? There we go. Thank you. I didn't realize I had lost it. So this is the sentence you're referring to. And what you're saying is, yeah, restoration efforts using heavy equipment doesn't quite match with the involvement of nonprofit organizations. I see. Yes, we can.
I'm fine
with another way.
I'm fine if small nonprofit organizations also want to do heavy equipment projects.
Okay.
But I don't know how to fix that. And like I said, I don't have an objection if you want to add a sentence in there to allow for specifically nonprofit groups to carry out small or just say enhancement projects or activities. But maybe the problem is that it's just one long sentence in general. But I'm sorry if that's making it more complicated. It just seemed like it was like stuck in there, and it doesn't.
No, this is good. So what I recommend doing is maybe getting gathering a few recommendations such as this, and then staff can take a few minutes to make these updates, and then we can display them again. We'll note that, we'll make a change later. No, just to keep things moving.
Yeah.
And then the other one was regarding cost, and it sounded like the cost displayed here, where my cursor is, it sounds like this may not be fully accurate.
Well, it's not per year. So a lot of projects are just grant projects that are funded for multi-year projects. So in that context, that's not how I estimated it. So I would say estimated project cost makes sense in that sense for, you know, a small project that may be, you know, less than, you know, it may be $100,000, $150,000 or whatever versus, you know, $5 million or $10 million. And that's just a guess.
Does this work then? I've deleted per year.
Can I clarify? I made the comment. So just when I said if appropriate to use per year, because I think, many, you get a grant and it's for the lifetime of that project.
Yes.
So my intention was not to make it harder for folks, but to use as appropriate if needed by year, because I think maybe some projects, maybe it's in their best interest to put annually, but only in that case. Thanks.
Okay, and I think Tom had a what's the correction or what is the concern?
Thank you, Martha. Luke, very, very well done. Thank you. Appreciate that, and thank you for everybody for those comments. I just want to make sure, and I might be getting lost in the traffic of these documents across my desk, but I believe that activity 1.1.3, which was enhanced coastal bluff habitat, is new in this draft compared to past drafts reviewed by the commission. Yeah, 1.1.3. So I think that this is the first time that this is being viewed by this body.
I can verify that.
Okay.
Give me one moment.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Tom, did you have other?
No, sir. That
recommendation.
I did not. That's the one.
1.1.3 enhanced coastal bluff habitat was included in the draft provided to the governing board and posted on our website.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And just to clarify that these potentially proposed red line edits are as compared to the version that was sent out by Luke, I guess maybe it was last week.
10 days ago,
and also posted to the website.
To the annual or per year point, could it, in the case of what Aaron was bringing up, could it be changed to reliant upon grant funding? I don't think the word total would quite be appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, especially for this one, like the dollar amount, it's just a guess. So I don't know. That could be annually. It could be for 10 years. It could be. I don't know. So, I mean, that makes sense. Whatever is granted.
Does this reflect what you're proposing?
I think when I read that, that means like it could be $150,000 going to the project every year, no matter what. But it's actually like the grant is $150,000 and they're using $150,000. So annually doesn't feel like it's conveying the right message.
Well, I thought the proposal was to strike out annually, and this is potential funding based on funding available or whatever. You can soften this. This is really intended just to kind of give an idea on the value.
Oh, so just take out annually.
Yes, that's
honestly,
what
I could not really tell yeah. that was
sorry. That was the proposal for this one.
Yeah, hi. I apologize for not seeing this earlier. On the top of page 51, it reads, at full scale, this estimated $364 million program. It's actually $464 million. I mean, what's $100 million between friends? But
I'll take it.
Sorry, help me. Can you help me find
yeah,
that?
Yeah, sorry. It's on the top of page 51. Yeah, so just go down a little bit. Oh. I have a different, I'm looking at a different document than you.
Yeah, what was that number you gave me?
364 is the number that's, I think I'm looking at a different document than you are. I'm looking at the action plan red line.
Ah, okay.
I got you, okay. So this would be under 2.2?
2.2, okay, let me find it, sorry. Action 2.2?
Yeah, and under 2.2, just underneath the Pure Water, Southern California.
Yep. I believe I found it here.
Yeah, it's $464 million.
464, great.
Can you go back to the Biona?
Yes.
Because I think, I don't have it in front of me because my computer died, but was there more than what, I wrote this so fast, was there one... More than one section for total cost for that, or was that just for the next 5 years, or what was I projecting there? Like, what was the point of that?
I'm not sure where the text came from.
I guess maybe this is a question for you. Again, just new to doing this document. I mean, the estimate's kind of a stab in the dark, right? Because I don't really know at this point yet what restoration would cost for the larger project. But in this context, if you're looking for just like the next 5 years, I mean, I could see that as a good milestone. But if you're looking for the project costs that have been estimated for the entirety of the project, then that would be much, much higher. So I don't know what you want in there.
I'll say this. This action plan, if approved today, may not consider approval for 5 to 10 years. So I would say if information relevant to that type of time frame would be most useful.
Okay. If somebody has, well, if you have that extra $100 million, I could use it for my project. Okay. And then I think I have a solution for the sentence above. If you could just move that in addition to the end of the sentence and just say restoration efforts may include instead of incorporate, but small habitat enhancement activities and or the use of heavy equipment carried out by local nonprofit organizations or I don't know, other entities. I don't know. What do you want to like local well, state or anything by the state?
Madam Chair, if I could.
Yes, Dean.
Thank you. I missed Aaron's original comments because I stepped out of the room briefly, but I thought part of this confusion we're having we would get resolved if we broke this up in two distinct categories. Then we would know better what we're talking about here because a full restoration is something like $500 million, right? And, you know, this little remedial things, gentle restoration is almost completely different, and I think it would be clear to everyone if we simply separated the two out. One, we're talking about a full restoration that may or may not ever happen with the $500 million, if that's the appropriate number, which is $5 million times 10. I mean, I assume that's what that is. Or are we talking about, you know, a immediate restoration that we're doing currently and ongoing that we can complete? So I don't know if that would clear things up if we just separated these two out. And I recommended at our December meeting. Did the executive committee talk about that at all? or why was it not incorporated into two separate?
So this is describing restoration work in the reserve, right? It's an overall topic. So Aaron's suggestion was two sentences, breaking up into two sentences because there are two separate activities, right? And this is factual information, right? So I don't understand in terms of breaking up, it's one activity, but within that activity, there could be various, I don't want to say activities, but sub-activities or whatever that are part of that overall. So I think breaking up two separate sentences works for Aaron, then it kind of addresses the fact, acknowledging that there is these other restoration efforts advocated by local NGOs. So that would be
I think that sentence serves a function as instead of breaking it up, that was kind of what I was suggesting. But I think what Francois is suggesting is breaking up the bottom part, the cost. And I didn't do that because I just didn't. And because it was like, you know, a 5-year plan, mm-hmm. I just suggested that it's not, you know, I didn't have like an idea of how long like the full restoration would take, which is probably in the like hundreds of millions of dollars magnitude. And so I guess I just went from what was there to $5 million in a smaller project context, and then the permitting and the planning of the bigger project. So that's why it's five.
Well, and then really what's provided is a range. Mm-hmm. So the cost for a smaller effort can cost less than the larger effort. So I think for this, the level of planning that we're looking at, which is long-term and not a range, is appropriate, and you can soften it in terms of this is estimated based on funding available, whatever, and things may change is a reality.
Right? I appreciate that. It was in the context of like not taking a lot of time because I didn't have it, but I'm open to suggestions, so thank you.
So when it comes down to the cost, is the $150,000, is that per year for 10 years? We're talking about $1.5 million. What are we doing here?
This is an estimated. I mean, maybe an efforts can cost less than that. I think at this point this is not committing the commission to any amount of funding to anyone. These are project proponents, and it's whatever funding they have available.
Yep. So if you wanted to go in and do a small restoration project and it cost you $150,000 and you got a grant, that would be covered in here. Or even if it was less, I guess we could make it zero. But, you know, anybody who wants to do any of those smaller scale projects, that would also be covered in that range. So it's just a very high level conversation. So, I mean, I did provide an update of where we were at in the context of the project. And then if anybody has any ideas or suggestions, you know, that they want to do work on the reserve, they can certainly reach out to me.
Okay. So we're taking the annually out of it.
Correct. Yes, we can
because
take
it's
that
so
out
vague
and
anyway.
It.
We really
yes,
don't
yes,
know.
Yes, we don't know. This is an overall kind of view of where we at, and we can soften it. So ultimately, it's not committing anyone to anything. We're just trying to reflect the activities and what's going on, and what and trying to be, you know, factual.
Right. I mean, the reality is, I don't know if the whole complete restoration project, is that expected to be scaled down to become more realistic, or what is the status of that?
That's out of our control. Ultimately, all we're trying to do in this document is kind of reflect ongoing activities, but we will, I mean, Aaron's been great. She'll keep us up to date in terms of their activities, just like we do hear from our public and the advocacy there. So,
Francois, I recommend if you want questions about the project and the, you know, the schedule, you can reach out to me.
Yeah.
But I did update earlier on where we're at. The project itself is not on this because I don't have a schedule yet. But that we are still working on the full project. So I don't have funds for it, and I don't have an estimate yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Luke, so are we...
Are there any other edits or comments regarding what was displayed in red text on the screen here today?
And I guess I do have a correction. I'm Pure Water, Southern California. In light, I looked at what Andy was looking at. Our latest estimate is $9.4 billion. So maybe let's just estimate it and may change, but $9.4 billion. I think it's on a different page, Luke. I'll look it up and I'll give it to you. But I just wanted to mention that where there's a number, our latest estimate is $9.4 billion.
Okay, so we will need to make that change before a vote.
Yes. All right, so I'll bring that over to you on the page number.
Okay, and I recommend moving to public comment.
Okay, let's go ahead and open up public comment for this item.
Okay, give me one moment. We have multiple public commenters. Thank you, folks, for raising your hands online. We will get a timer for you. First commenter with time remaining is Suzanne. Suzanne, you have 2 minutes and 30 seconds. You can now unmute yourself.
Hi, thanks again. There's an echo here. I don't know if you can stop the echo, but it's easier to speak without it. I think that the National Park Service study could be very useful for a lot of your projects, but they would know how controversial the Bayona Wetlands Ecological Reserve is. And when they look and see that you're not holding stakeholder meetings, including everybody, what would happen if NPS study person was walking through the ecological reserve and looked up and saw bulldozers? I think that this whole section should be temporarily deleted and reworked in light of the NPS study that's coming up, because I'm sure they wouldn't like to see something being done, being torn up with not even a current baseline survey to see what is there now. So please either postpone this section to rework it in light of the NPS study that's coming up, or just delete it entirely and come back to it at a later time. Thanks so much. And I give my remaining time to Marcia Hanscom.
Thank you. One moment, please. Time cannot be ceded to someone else. Next commenter we have is Marcia with 25 seconds left. Go ahead, Marcia. You should be unmuted.
Can I, before you start the clock, can I ask a clarifying question? I've been coming to these meetings since 1995. I think I was there when you passed the first one. Maybe no one else here was. But this is very confusing. The meeting public comments say you have 4 minutes total. So when they put 3 minutes at the beginning, I thought that meant I would at least have a minute for this. It's very, I don't understand how your public comments instructions change constantly. And that's for your new attorney. Could someone clarify this?
Sure. If you look at the Bagley-Keene Open Meetings Act, section 11125.7b, the state body may adopt reasonable regulations, including but not limited to regulations limiting the total amount of time allocated for public comment on particular issues. The chair specified at the beginning of the meeting that public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person for all items, and that's what we're doing.
No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. She said 3 minutes for general public comment.
Hi, Martha. We can start your 25 seconds now. You're welcome to provide your comment.
Okay, I will just say that you did not listen to your voting member, Dean Francois, who asked very clearly what he wanted and you didn't have that in there for the Biona wetlands. I agree, you should just take out the Biona wetlands issue completely. You have it every year. You're not doing anything at the Biona wetlands, and it is, and the public should know that it is going to cost $400 to $500 million for this.
Thank you, Marcia. Next public commenter we have is Gabrielle Crow, with 3 minutes on the timer. Gabrielle, you should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, miha tahove tamet nahinkam na 20 Gabrielle Crow. So, hello and good day, relatives. My name is Gabrielle Rocha Crow. I'm the co-chair as well as the Secretary of Environmental Sciences for the Gabrielle Anishinaabe Nation of Southern California. I've been a cultural and environmental educator, mostly marine science, for over 20 years. And I'm coming here today just to respectfully ask for the governing board to consider the approval, before approving the action plan, that after reading through it and actually being here at the meeting and listening to the different comments and other things, it's become really apparent that there's a dire need for more tribal engagement and tribal leadership in this whole process. You know, there's many tribal councils in the ancestral territory of Los Angeles, as well as the four Southern Channel Islands, including Pimu, which I know was spoken about earlier. And over the last few years, I've not only become a member of four out of the 14 MPA collaboratives in the state of California, but I'm also a member of the state's MPA social working group, as well as one of the tribal partners with the Catalina Island Conservancy. So I just think at this time it would be greatly beneficial for the SMBRC to not only engage, but also to implement the expertise of the tribes in all aspects of their action plan. And respectfully engaging with a community member, a tribal community member, is not the same as working with different tribal governments and having meaningful engagement. So I appreciate the time. Awishkanaha, thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Our next commenter is Walter Lamb with 3 minutes. Walter, give me one moment while I get your slide. So I have a slide to present. I can keep my own timer. I can keep my own timer for Walter. Walter, sorry, give me one moment. Walter, you should be allowed to unmute yourself.
Luke, can you zoom that more? I can't see it.
I am trying. Give me one moment, sorry. Bear with me, everyone. I'm sorry. Okay, is that better for everyone?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Walter, go ahead.
Thank you, Walter Lamb, speaking on behalf of the Biona Wetlands Land Trust. I don't really even know where to start. I mean, it's a little surreal that this is a process that's been going on since, you know, we got the first draft in August, another draft in December. For those drafts, we had question marks for cost. And then 9 days ago, the first draft ever talking about any cost relating to Biona came out. And, you know, instantly I saw that there's this huge discrepancy. So the upper range of 5 million wouldn't even come close over 10 years to the minimum 200 million to 400 million restoration project cost. And I think there's a lot of glossing over of what the purpose is of including this information in this plan that you submit to a federal agency for review And the purpose is to try to have an understanding of what kinds of money is needed to accomplish your goals. And to hear, I mean, I almost heard that this document's not important. And I wish someone would have said that up front. Because, yeah, you've spent a lot of time on meetings and allowing us to submit comments, but we never get anything back from our comments. Like, everything is in the dark. I have no idea how $5 million, whether it's annually or anything, has anything to do with the cost of the project of restoring the Bayano wetlands. This tells us that there's not a lot of seriousness about the project. It was in the nominating papers back in 1988, talked about Bayano wetlands. 1994, I guess, approved a 95 action plan, had a timetable and budget all along. And then now we don't even have a milestone for a really key permit, which is the Federal Environmental Impact Statement. So at the end of the day, it's frustrating, but this does actually help us. This document and the way you've treated this document and your discussion today, you're not serious. You're not serious. I'm sorry. You're not serious about this project. If you were, there'd be a milestone in here for the federal EIS, just like there was in your last two action plans. 2013, the EIS was going to be done in 2014. 2018, it was going to be done by 2022. I could go through these other points, but what's the point when we're hearing that it doesn't really matter, right? It can be a range. It can be vague information. It can be stuff that is no measurable, no way to measure it. I do want to talk about the 500 acres. So the first two drafts said greater than or equal to 200 acres restored. And now that's been switched to 500, which you would think, oh, that's more ambitious. But the operator's been switched. It's now that's the maximum, and there is no minimum. Like, there's no minimum. You could restore 1 acre, and it could cost $10. It could cost $1 billion. Like, none of this matters. And for people who care about the Bayano wetlands, it's a problem that you treat it this way. And I don't know what, I really don't want to do. I've been to these meetings for a long time. There's just a lack of security.
Thank you, Walter. That concludes your 3 minutes. Those are the public commenters with time remaining. That's everyone. If there is anyone in the room who wishes to give public comment, we could do that now.
Any additional comments on this item?
I just have one comment, just because it was helpful. I think that there's a misunderstanding on what the range was for. So just in response to Walter's comment, maybe that's a misunderstanding on my part of what you were asking for in the document. So if it makes everyone happy to put the $400 million for the total cost of the project, I'm open to do that. And the lack of a minimum, that I guess made sense to me, since the extent of the project is 500, the extent of the property is 500 acres. So I don't think that was meant to be an oversight in allowing for smaller projects. It was just a recognition of the size of the parcel. So I don't know if that helps in editing the document or providing comments, but I'm just trying to help get some clarity while trying to be at a high level, but at the same time provide some. I mean, I feel like I provided a good summary of where we're at today for other milestones, like the land management plan and the EIR, outside of this document. So I guess I'm sorry. Go on.
Does it sound, am I interpreting this correctly? You have an edit?
Sure.
To put here?
Yeah, and so I'm fine with that. If you want to just include the range to
the potential estimate or whatever your latest estimate is for the project, that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
I should put $400 million.
Because that was the last back of the napkin number I heard.
I still think a range is appropriate just because there is potential for a smaller scale effort. So that's fine.
And I don't know if there's anything that can be done on the down where it says restore up to 500 acres. I mean, that reflects that it could be a small scale project by a nonprofit versus the entirety of the restoration. So if somebody wants to recommend a change to that, I'm open to it. But it wasn't meant to minimize the magnitude of the projects.
Thank you, Aaron. Anyone else on any other item that Luke presented? Any additional suggestion, edit, or yes, Michelle?
I just had maybe a clarifying question. For the goal six of the extreme weather, you mentioned that it'll be developed. What does that look like? What has to be in there in order to confirm that it gets addressed, and what can be added over time? If you could explain that.
So maybe Tom can share the process that he will lead us through.
I will share what I think the intention is here, and I will be welcome other comments. I think there was a great diversity of opinions as to the readiness or the capacity to contribute to emergency preparedness. We are not FEMA. We're not the Office of Emergency Services. I felt that the conversation around the table had focused on this body, the commission, may be the only point of contact that somebody has when it comes to civic engagement in our community. And if this is the place that you go and we're not helping connect people to other services, directing them towards opportunities to be informed and prepared in the case of emergencies, we're really missing that opportunity. There was a lot of, I think, very interesting yet more distal pieces of what should we do to get this work done. So right now, these are, I think, solid placeholders for a regional emergency action plan. Like, what does that mean? Hey, here's the other folks that we would go to. Here's the other agencies we would talk to, other authorities, entities, folks that already have emergency action plans. How do we incorporate those materials or make them available? The second one, activity 6.2.1, was how do we not just sit there and be like, oh, great, you came to our website, here's a list of resources, but how do we conduct outreach? Is there a notice that goes out? Is it an Instagram post? Is it something like, hey, you know, there's going to be 10 feet of snow in the Sierras. I'm using something outside the region purposefully. So don't drive this weekend. So I think trying to reflect some of these other alerts and messages. I think there's also a proactive element to this where there are resources. And I think in reflection to the fires that we've experienced in this community, hey, here's how you can get information on better preparing your property for fire season. Here are the steps that you should take to secure your property so that you're not contributing to further harm to yourself and others. So that's the essence of it. We need to convene a discussion amongst folks that want to spend some time with us to figure this out. We gave ourselves, you know, 3 to 5 years, if I remember correctly, to start to have this coalesce so that it coincides with the next time that the EPA expects us to take a look at this plan and say, hey, are we on track? Is this still applicable? Is it contemporary? So that's where we've landed at this point.
So thank you, Tom. And one, Michelle, this will be a work in process. Like Tom, there was a lot of excitement about this item, and I think we've learned a lot from the fires, and I think we can incorporate some of those lessons learned to develop something that could be helpful to our program here. So I think it might be helpful, Tom, that maybe you think about how you bring us along. If you need a subcommittee, if there's volunteers, we can set that up. But maybe this is something that you can bring at the next commission meeting, maybe some sort of general plan. Because the idea is that really this action plan, I know we say 3 to 5 years. The last time we reviewed this was 2018. The reality is that this really should be more of a living document. And I know I asked the technical advisory committee. I was not aware they had not provided input on our action plan. But I understand, because we will be working on this goal number 6. If there are updates from our TAC, they can always be incorporated later. But this is something, Tom, that Tom goes by really fast. And I know there's a lot of excitement now. And, you know, sometimes our members, you know, pass on, you know, go on to different activities. And I would really like us to get started on working on something so that we can take advantage of the expertise and the people that we currently have here. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Chair, I agree fully. I think 3 to 5 years for some of this is actually a fairly aggressive time frame. But we're interested in getting started on it for sure. And I hope that we can make some contribution to everybody's coordinated efforts around the region to make this work. And excited that if the action plan passes, that we can start working with the TAC to get them to help us advise on some of the strategies or refinements to get this done on an annual basis.
Can I ask a question about the, I think it has something to do with the emergency action plan, but one of the things that came up as I've been kind of moseying through this stuff is that what would really be helpful is like a contact list for the board members, because yes, every time I've tried to reach out to somebody, I don't know how to, because the email's not there and I'm like, you know, scratching my head. So that would be really helpful, whether it's internal, external, I don't care. It'd be really helpful.
And I think maybe that's something that we can do sooner than 3 years from now, for sure. So maybe Luke can help with that. Great. Thank you, Aaron. Sure, Susie. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I really agree with the inclusion of this goal. I noticed, though, in reading how it was included, we focus a lot on the preparedness and response. And seeing as how we have kind of that longer up to 5-year timeline, I wonder if we can just add the words preparedness and resilience to this too somewhere. Not preparedness, but where possible, prevention. Yeah, because there are some instances where you can prevent the emergency in the first place, and that's always the best option. And so I noticed in the action objection, we talk about how preparedness and response to local emergencies, but maybe we can also say, you know, preparedness, resilience, and where possible, prevention to look, you know, along with response to local emergencies for that one. I also, I missed the December meeting, but I noticed in the minutes that the committee contemplated a resolution around, you know, climate change and our commitment to disadvantaged communities. So I just wanted to acknowledge and appreciate that. And you know, that I think ties in well to this goal. And I would like to touch on that a little bit more, but I'll stop there.
Thank you. So I think she has a suggested edit, and would the most appropriate place be under the actual goal level or at the action level?
We will need to make that change in several places. I recommend maybe taking a break and having Susie work on this with us if possible.
I think you have a few minutes.
Five minutes? 10 minutes.
All right. Let's do that. Let's take a break, and thank you. So we'll resume in 11:35.
Thank you, folks. Sure. If you could return to your seats, please.
Okay. All right. Hi, everyone. Let's go ahead and resume. And if you are not speaking, please mute your microphone so that our listeners online will not hear echoes. All right. All right, Luke, do you want to share on screen?
Yes. So I will share my screen. The changes that were made. Here we go. So on page 47 of the draft I've been working off of, under the Pure Water Southern California activity 2.2.2, I made the change under estimated project cost to $9.4 billion, and I don't believe there's another edit to be made for that.
Thank you.
The construction costs, I see up here there are a few other numbers, but
I think the change should be that's the overall, that's the one number.
Okay, great. The next edit comes on page 79 regarding goal 6. This is what staff was working on with Susie. One moment, please. 79, page 79. So in summary, the changes were to list preparedness, response, prevention, and resilience. So to kind of add more context, more focuses to this type of work. So it was the inclusion of prevention and resilience that you see here to that first sentence under the action. And then there was another change made under activity 6.1.1 to reflect that as well. So basically when we discuss emergency planning, we mean emergency preparedness, prevention, response, and resilience. I hope I captured that.
Great, thank you. Unless there's any more discussion, is someone ready to make a motion?
Can I make just sure. A brief comment on that last point? We're fully supportive of the resilience agenda and making sure that those investments take place. I wanted to stress that in reflecting on the experience with the Palisades and Eden fires, there was a delta or a vulnerability that was shown on some of the specific environmental challenges facing water quality, sand quality, the environmental realities of a coastal fire like this, that this group and those in this group have unique expertise and ability, I think, to influence in the near term. And just I want to emphasize how interested we are in supporting that and being a part of that, as well as recognizing importance of the long-term investments. And I think there's other strategies around nature-based solutions and other things that really do speak to the work of this group, but don't want to lose sight of the near-term opportunity and imperative of doing that emergency planning and learning from our recent experience. But I'm supportive of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Dean?
Could you just go over the 1.3.3 again to see what was changed on that? I can't see.
Sorry, bear with me, Dean. I have to scroll up. Sorry, I didn't realize you were struggling with it. Can you see it?
Can you zoom it in a little more?
Yes. I've lost my cursor.
So I'll get back to my microphone. The first bullet, where is it here? The second bullet, support pre-design implementation of large-scale Bayona Wetlands Restoration Plan. Does it make sense to add in there or something smaller? If it's small, let's say down the road, Fish and Wildlife actually want to make it smaller. There's community input, and they want to make it smaller. And here we're stuck with this statement here that says we're only supporting a large scale. So I'm just wondering, is there a way to word that and tweak it a little differently so that we're not stuck supporting only a large scale?
Can we say and, or can we make it another bullet? Or, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I mean, I'm just suggesting on the fly here.
I'll draft something up really quick.
What was that? Small scale, yeah.
Is there a reason it says large scale at all? Can you just say Bayona Wetlands Restoration
That's plan? Good. Adding an extra bullet, therefore we're covering ourselves.
But I will defer to, I know that, Aaron, you're the expert.
Who's talking? I mean, it does make sense to remove just the large scale from that first bullet now, because so.
But that is in reference to the plan.
To the project, I guess. I don't, it's up to you.
It's up to you. You're the expert.
Sometimes I don't feel that.
Yeah, no, I like that. It makes it broader, includes other types of things than just from that plan.
Okay. That's a great comment.
Great.
Okay, any others?
Hi, Susie. Just one other thing I wanted to discuss, circling back to the resolution that the committee was discussing at the last meeting. Per the minutes, it mentioned how this would just kind of express the committee's commitment to addressing climate change and supporting disadvantaged communities. And I know this came kind of from some of the conversations around this action plan. And when I was looking at the staff report for the action plan, though, when it talks about the comparison between the 2018 plan compared to how this plan turned out, it mentions that the goal to support disadvantaged communities was incorporated in a number of other actions, I think 8 other actions. But my issue was, when I was reading those actions, I didn't see direct actions in there, or a sentence kind of stringing together how that support for disadvantaged community is going to occur within those actions. So the area I'm most familiar with on this is safe clean water, and if Genevieve and county would agree, I think it would be great to add a milestone under milestone under, I think it's 2.1.2. On my draft, it's page 40, but there's 3 expected milestones. I know one that the county has been working a lot on, and other agencies within the county, is the implementation and development of a workforce development program. So I'm wondering if folks agree, can we add an expected milestone for the implementation of a workforce development plan under this program?
Genevieve, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm watching as it's live being edited. I think we would support that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
And let me just make sure, so activity 2.1.2, support the Safe Clean Water Program.
Awesome. All right. Anyone else, or ready for a motion? Sure. Sure, Erica.
Thanks. I have a question. I think it's goal 5, the monitoring. So you added the language, was it to each milestone? There was a sentence about bite monitoring. And I'm wondering, how does that, I'm trying to translate that in my mind, and I don't read quickly and absorb. So how would that, does that mean we'd be getting, or our members that help fund the bite study would bring to the table, okay, here's like specific, the monitoring for Santa Monica Bay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Awesome. Sanitation districts is on the SCORP commission. LA Sanitation is. So yes, that is the commitment.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then this is super nitpicky, but the paragraph that described the bite study in SCORP, it referenced the 2023 bite. And I just wonder if that's too in the moment, the sentence, because this is a 10-year document. I know we're going to look at it every 3 to 5 years, but just given, sorry, maybe I'll wait till the language is up. Thank you for bearing with me. Okay. Oh, it says towards the third line from the bottom, bite 2023 is currently underway. I would just say to strike that sentence, given it is underway. That is factual, but in 2 years, it won't, you know, we'll be on the next one.
It'll be a different bite program.
It's a 5-year
that's fine.
Cycle.
Yes, okay. That's fine.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Great. Anyone else? Really appreciate the input here. Ready for a motion?
I'll move that we approve this with these recommended changes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Cindy, let's do roll call vote.
Once again, we will be voting in a randomized order, and this time we will begin with Christina O. Yes. Bertha Ruiz Hoffman. Yes. Aaron Orderer.
Yes.
Erica Yelensky. Oh, apologies. Martha Tremblay?
Yes.
Sabrina Ashton?
Yes.
Karen Mogus?
Yes.
Thank you. Lauren Salisbury?
Yes.
Andy Korodesky?
Yes.
Greg Rochal?
Yes.
Jenny Newman?
Yes.
Aaron Wilson Olgen?
Yes.
Genevieve Vizmina?
Yes.
Susie Santolina?
Yes.
Michael Quill?
Yes.
Edward Caldwell?
Yes.
John Erickson? Oh, not here.
John left.
Perfect. Jacob Berman?
Yes.
Dean Francois?
Yes.
Jamie King?
Yes.
Carrie Nichols?
Yes.
Thank you. That is 19 yes votes. The item passes. Thank you, Chair.
Did I vote?
Or yes. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Luke, Tom. I know this was a lot of work to get to this point, so we're excited. Thank you for everything and all the great input. So with that, we have no closed session today. And item 4B is member comment. Any governing board members can comment on issues that are not on the agenda. Anyone has any closing? Greg?
Yeah, I'd like to just follow up with something that was said earlier, and Gabrielle, and I don't know her last name, she was one of the speakers, she talked about tribal engagement, and you know, I think it's important that we possibly, I'd like to make a motion that we do a tribal acknowledgement of the land when we have our meetings, and also that we look into ways that we can engage tribal leaders and tribal people of the lands that we are trying to restore, so we can, you know, acknowledge them and they can have input in what it is we do. So,
If I can just respond to that briefly. So commission staff did, we did attempt to engage with tribes regarding the action plan, so we made some outreach efforts there. And then regarding a land acknowledgement, yeah, that's been brought up in recent years, and I've been working with a governing board member on developing that. So thank you for bringing that up. We're working on it.
Anyone else? Dean?
Thank you. During the break, I just discussed with the chair about what happened with the number of minutes that someone has to speak. So apparently, as I understand it, an announcement was made in the beginning that we reduced it from 4 to 3, but I'm just wondering if it could be a little bit more transparent. I don't know if the chair should be saying something like, you know, without objection, we can do that, because, right, as a board, we could vote to keep it at 4, but just so that it's more clear, because I guess it wasn't clear to the speaker and wasn't clear to me until I found out later that it was reduced. I mean, the agenda's written, it says, you know, I don't know. If there's a way to make it more clear, that would help as far as the number of minutes speakers have when they're being reduced. Thanks.
No, and I noted that it was 3 minutes, and the agenda says 4 minutes unless otherwise noted. And but no, thank you for the comment, and we'll keep that in mind. All right. Hearing no other comments, I guess I'll share, and I think Luke mentioned it a little bit, the Pure Water Southern California, the partnership with Metropolitan Water District to take water that's currently going to the ocean, rather than it go to the ocean, it can be purified and beneficially reused for groundwater recharge. The Metropolitan Water Districts and the sanitation districts met. The final EIR has been certified by both agencies. It's been years in the making. We're really excited. At this point, both agencies are looking at that potential next phase of starting design. So I'll keep you all updated as we move forward. And it is a $9.4 billion project, but, you know, we've got to start somewhere. But anyway, thanks. All right. So with that, let's see, unless anyone has any other comments, we can adjourn. But before that, I just want to mention the executive committee meeting will be March 26th at the Edward C. Little Water Recycling Facility. Thank you, EJ, for hosting us. And our next governing board meeting is tentatively set for April 16th. Back here again at Hyperion's Los Angeles Environmental Learning Center. Thank you, Susie, for hosting us. And with that, we can adjourn at 11:55. Thank you all. Take care.